This sermon is entitled Paradise Lost, and it's about original sin. This sermon on original sin is the sixth of the 29 sermons in our current series, highlighting how a high percentage of Christendom today has ignored, diluted, or obscured 29 core doctrines of the Reformation, for which all of our godly forefathers would surely thunder condemnation upon us. Obviously, how much more so does God then condemn us today? Yes, we may fear that because of our personal, church, and national sins, and our stubborn refusal to repent from them, a hyper-angry God has sent this global COVID-19 upon us, bringing all 195 countries in the world to their knees. For it has been over 150 days since he sent this plague, and unlike the wicked king of Nineveh, we still have not repented. Now our text for the sermon on original sin is from Genesis 1, verse 31. Hear the word of God. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The origin of original sin first reared its monstrous head in heaven, where Satan, the father of sin, rebelled against God. Yes, everything was perfect there. The glory of heaven radiated in unspeakable brightness and glory. But, what an unspeakable rebellion came from one of the angels who God created in the first day. We know not how, but we can read of this rebellion in Ezekiel 28, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord God to Satan, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, and I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou settest thine heart as the heart of God. Now, shortly after creation, we believe that nearly one-third of all the millions of angels which God had created perfectly holy, they tragically joined Satan in his catastrophic rebellion against God. Now we know that God cast them out of heaven and made hell specifically for them, chaining them there. Scripture tells us that there was war in heaven when their sin was discovered, and Michael and all the good angels fought against their fellow angels, the evil angels, and they cast them out, and they fell from heaven to earth. Yes, because even of the stain of this sin, God says, even heaven is not clean in his sight, and he will create a new heaven and a new earth in the twinkling of an eye on the last day. Yes, even the stain of sin God will burn up. Now Satan, finding himself cast down to earth, knowing he could not escape hell, in his raging anger sought a way to do the most harm to God in revengeance for being cast out. There on earth he cast his evil eyes upon Adam, the crown piece of God's creation, and Satan focused all of his wickedness dedicated toward bringing Adam into sin. Now the covenant of works and the head of this covenant, Adam, was their primary focus, for they knew if they could get Adam to commit even one small sin, God's plan of redemption would be ruined. For Adam represented all mankind. As long as Adam did not sin, he could have fulfilled salvation for everyone ever to be born. Imagine that. He could have fulfilled salvation for everyone to be born. We can see how subtly Satan framed his temptation against Eve to get Adam to go to get the covenant of the works, to eliminate it, to doubt God's word. Now Satan and the evil angels were created on the first day of creation, and thus they were obviously not in the Trinity's grand master blueprint developed in the Council of Peace in eternity before creation. And they obviously could not and did not know that God was not surprised in the least by Adam's breaking of the covenant of works, for he had also decreed its replacement at the covenant of grace. This covenant of grace he announced immediately after Adam's deep fall in Genesis 3 verse 15, where Adam, who represented all men as we said, could not fulfill the requirements of the covenant of works. God could have righteously destroyed all mankind at that moment. It was pure grace that God gave instead a God-man as the head in the new covenant, the covenant of grace, to guarantee that he would perfectly obey it. Now, this covenant depended not on the works of man, but only upon the grace of God in the finished work and the blood of Jesus Christ. Eternally and tragically, under the covenant of works, which each of us willfully broke, all people in the whole world could have been automatically saved. But clearly and obviously, under the covenant of grace, an extremely high percentage of mankind is going and has gone lost to hell eternally. Oh, wretched original sin. Yes, paradise in the Garden of Eden was unspeakable happiness. There was unimaginable bliss, an unfathomable joy. It was a time of unspeakable happiness for Adam and Eve, but also for everything else which God created in the 6 days of creation. Yes, everything in paradise lived perfectly just as God had willed it and created it for, and had intended it to live. Oh, who can fathom such total and complete happiness, where every atom of everything in the universe delighted in their Creator? Yes, above the earth, all the trillions upon trillions, the quadrillions of stars he placed in space and named by him shone brightly upon him and sang for joy in their circuit God had established for them. Everything on earth rejoiced at the Son of God walking in the garden in their presence in the cool of the night, in the cool of the day, that they could walk and talk with Him daily? Yes, everything under the earth and in the sea sang in ecstasy of His glory. Also, the spiritual world and the physical world were in complete and close harmony. Happiness abundantly overflowed everything in fulfilling God's will. Most importantly, the second person of the Trinity and all the three persons of the Trinity were happy, which we can see in our text in Genesis 1 verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good, very good. Yes, at that moment the covenant of works was working perfectly, just as God had designed it. And if this obedience continued, everyone to ever be born on earth would be saved and go to heaven. Oh, let us hear that wonderful blessing again. Everything, everybody on earth saved. Yes, everything was unimaginably bright and beautiful because of this work of God. But oh, ugly earth, oh, what we became. Who can comprehend that comparison, that incredible wonder and the unspeakable beauty of Eden, especially when we see such an incredibly high percentage of the world's population for the last 6,000 years has refused to bow before God's offer of grace extended to lost and undone sinners, and have, therefore, and are going, or have already gone lost to hell for eternity. Oh, solemn thought, has it plagued you? Oh, how radically sin has changed everything. For now comes the awful darkness of Genesis 3, the blackest chapter of all the Bible that began all this 6,000 years of misery. Oh, catastrophic day, cataclysmic hour, apoplectic moment, wretched decision, horrible choice. We made in Adam, our covenant head, to believe the lie of Satan and to eat of the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and utterly shatter the covenant of works. Yes, all the words in the dictionary cannot begin to describe that unspeakable bad decision by Adam, who, representing all humanity, that treasonous decision, that all-decisive decision for eternity, which we have made with Adam in Eden's original sin. We were all there, yes, with and in Adam, and yes, in full agreement to rebel against God. Has God ever shown you that reality? No other human decision was more detrimental to mankind, and nothing upon earth was such a pivotal decision toward the ruin of mankind as original sin. For by it a great hate came upon all mankind. We hate God and our neighbor now because of that sin. It is impossible to measure because it brought billions upon billions of humans to eternal hell, eternal damnation. Oh, who can think about that unspeakable tragedy without crying out for the unspeakable death which sin has caused? Martin Luther said, any Christian who looks around at the mushrooming and the reigning wickedness in this poor perishing world and views the sight of such a high percentage of all our human brothers going to hell forever and does not daily lament his personal breaking of the covenant of works, such a one has to seriously question whether he is even a true Christian. Do I know that great reality, and are we daily lamenting our continual sins in thoughts, words, and deeds, which the Holy Spirit is uncovering daily in your and my heart? Do you look around with abject horror as we watch most of the world's population stubbornly refusing to repent and relentlessly daily pursuing the pathway of sin, of disobeying the Ten Commandments, and thus perishing eternally in their iniquity because of their breaking of the covenant of works, we are still responsible for that sin? Now I have a deep spiritual question for each of us. Has the guilt of original sin in your conscience ever become your guilt, my guilt, an unspeakable burden? Have you ever been taught that it is your fault? Yes, your fault, my fault. Have you and I ever been taught by the Holy Spirit and learned this reality about ourselves spiritually as being totally dead in sins and trespasses because of that sin, yet hating God and our neighbor even daily? Oh, a serious, serious question. Have we ever become a vexed lot because we are watching in horror as the evidence of our original and actual sins multiplies and mushrooms within us and without us? Yes, tragically, original sin is all of that in its heinous treason. And yes, it was imputed to every human on earth, and everyone inherited the consequences of it. You and me, no human can escape it. Have you learned by grace that you were there with Adam in Eden, that you were there in Adam, willfully sinning against God? Yes, that truth most certainly. God teaches all of his children this critical scriptural lesson in his school of Jesus Christ. He teaches it as the very first lesson in kindergarten of the school of Jesus Christ. Do you know it? Have you learned it by grace? Now let us look at all the horrible consequences of original sin upon earth. Oh, look around and see how radically this sin immediately changed everything in the universe. It is not paradise we see, no. Death, with all of its destruction, entered everything. How this sin radically changed everything on earth with man, with animals, with insects, with every being on earth and in the universe. For with original sin death made a door into the universe, into this perfect creation. All that God had created in the universe became subject to death. As we said, heaven was indelibly stained when Satan in his pride rebelled against God. Now, the first thing that died on earth was mankind, spiritually. God had said, in the day ye eat thereof, you shall die. And die we did, spiritually. Though Adam lived another 930 years, he died spiritually with all of us. What a thick cloud of darkness descended upon us, you and me, that we could no longer see God, see spirituality. And we would be and remain spiritually dead in sins and trespasses unless God applied his power by the Holy Spirit to our dead soul, granting rebirth as the masterpiece of God's creation. God has given us a body and a soul where we could see and talk with the entire spiritual world in a close and intimate relationship. But tragically, sin made a separation from God spiritually. Sin made that separation because it is unholiness. God cannot have anything to do with unholiness. Yes, the smallest unholiness cannot enter heaven. And God is making violent war against sin. And he will, and he has destroyed it, objectively and subjectively, so to reunite his family on the last day. Oh, wretched day, not only were our eyes open to see our unholiness in original sin, but we fled from God and hid ourselves, not only because we were afraid of him, but, oh, awful reality, now we by nature hate him, and we love Satan and darkness. Yes, in original sin, we immediately hated God, our lovely Creator, who has done nothing but good for us. Oh, he is chief among 10,000. How could we have done this great treason? Oh, what a vile hate then possesses you and me and all mankind from conception. Dead in sins and trespasses. Yes, has the Holy Spirit ever taught you and me that personally that we are guilty of original sin because we were there willfully in Adam's loins and consented to this original sin? Oh, wretched day, wretched a decision that would cause that we by nature now hate God and our neighbor. Yes, the whole creation groans in travail because of that radical distortion they received because of man's sin. Original sin wrecked it all. And only a remnant of God's eternal purpose was left among mankind. Yes, man, God's crown piece of creation was created far, far superior to everything else of creation. It is our soul that so distinguishes us from animals and any other kind of life. Oh, who can fathom God? breathing a soul into our being, making us alive. Now our soul lives forever. We were created body and soul to live forever, but how radically everything now began to die, for sin causes death. Death, the king of terrors, death entered every cell of creation. The whole earth, the whole universe now groans in travail and is in constant agony from the heavy daily oppression of sin weighing down everything in the universe and bringing everything down to death. Yes, God tells us in His Word, the wages of sin is death. Do you hear it? The wages of sin is death. How much darkness descended upon man and dimmed his eyes. Previous to sin, man could see everything in creation. Even science tells us now that today the human eye can only see about 8% of all what God created. Yes, 8%. Astoundingly, because of original sin, 92% of creation has become invisible. Our physical eyes can now only see a fraction of the fullness of the light spectrum. Our ears cannot hear the full volume of the beauty God created in creation. Our nose can only smell a small fraction of all the fragrance of creation. Yes, even a dog can smell more than 300 times better than humans, and we are the crown piece of creation. Our tongue can only taste a small segment of all the deliciousness that there is of creation. Science tells us that our brain, our human mind, can only use 10% of its total capacity of what it once could use. Oh, hearing all that, oh, can you not say with me what devastation sin has brought upon us? Oh, wretched day, wretched decision, wretched sin we made in paradise in original sin. How distorted, how twisted, how grotesque we have become in God's eyes because of not only original sin, but the flood of sin that flowed from original sin. Yes, God had created in paradise every one of our approximately 200 trillion body cells in an astounding complexity of all of our organs, glands, and bones, and muscles, and sinews, and all of our being. He is perfectly formed into a synthesized whole human. What a miracle is human life, a heartbeat, a breath. Billions upon billions of nerve endings connect to thousands of miles of nerves connected to our brain. Blood travels through 60,000 miles of blood vessels in the human body to carry life to every cell that was ever renewing, allowing us to live forever. Everything which God had created to live forever, now because of sin, leads to our eventual death from the deterioration of the cells from sin, because of sin instead of living forever. Man's age was set in finite numbers. Yes, originally it was forever, but after sin it was still as high as 969 years of Methuselah. But soon God, because of wickedness of man, reduced even that age span to 70 years or 80 years for the very strong. Because of sin, God says, flesh and blood shall not enter heaven. Yes, God allows the King of Terrors, death, to steadily bend and diminish every cell of our human body more and more day after day as we age until we stumble decrepit into the open grave. It's not what was the plan, not what was intended. Man was created to live forever. And at physical death, we either go into heaven or into hell, depending upon grace. Death is a terrible thing to watch. Death is the violent ripping of the soul from the body. Yes, how much darkness came into the world because of sin. Before, mankind loved the light. But after sin, we love darkness and we reject all divine light. That veil over our eyes and our heart remains. Before sin, our will was in harmony with God's will. But now, it is totally alienated from Him, hating Him, and is also opposed to anything of God, to any light divinely given. Also, our affections were changed. Before, we had loved God and willingly served Him with heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. After sin, our affections were oriented to serving Satan and ourselves, and that great idol, triple-headed idol, me, my, and I. Yes, our allegiance was changed from serving God to serving Satan. Oh, wretched decision. Our minds were altered. Our thinking was changed. Our entire being came to hate God and our neighbor. Our conscience still testifies a little of that. But what darkness came over the whole universe because of sin? And yes, our conscience still works a little because God's law was written in our hearts. They knew it well. And previously the law was their daily delight. But now humans enjoy themselves by disobeying the Ten Commandments. Disobedience became the center of our entertainment, our amusement. Check it out. Sins done against the Ten Commandments is what makes most humans laugh, which entertains most humans. Not so in paradise. No original sin, and our willingness to sin has brought all mankind was dead in sins and trespasses. And it was the very opposite of love, which God exhibited and God commanded in the Ten Commandments. Look now, walking through the Ten Commandments in reverse, we see how mankind has become covetous, liars, thieves, sexual monsters, Holocaust murderers, Sabbath day breakers, name blasphemers, accursed idolaters, and God divorcers. Oh, wretched original sin, wretched sin. Let us fall before God's face today in repentance, for we see COVID-19 and all of the judgments come down upon us because of our sin. But not only humans changed, but in the next point, additionally, all the animals changed radically as a consequence. They had not sinned. Adam had named them all on the sixth day of creation. Who can imagine that happy, peaceful scene where the dinosaurs, the T-Rex, the lions, yes, the rats, romped playfully around Adam, the crown piece of creation, loving everything about him and wanting to be close and around Adam. Every animal sought for Adam's attention and tried to come up to him playfully. Yes, the tigers, the bears, the minks adored him as their master. Yes, the skunks, the porcupines, the alligator, the snail cozied up to him playfully. And most amazingly, the snake, the most beautiful of all the animals, walking on his four legs, played with all and was admired the most in paradise. For God made the snake especially beautiful. Clearly, he also physically talked for Adam, for Eve showed no surprise to have the snake speak to her, where Satan deceived her into the eating of the fruit. But the key point here is, yes, there was no fear in paradise, no danger, no concerns among all the animals, for all of creation spilled over and throbbed with harmony and holiness. Yes, the lion laid down and slept with the lamb. No deaths took place in paradise. No blood was shed. All the animals obviously ate plants, and the superabounding fruit of over 12,000 different fruit trees. Certainly, none of the animals ate each other or any other meat. Death did not happen until sin. Peace, harmony, and tranquility abounded in paradise. The thousands of different kinds of birds flew and landed around Adam, showing off. The thousands of different kinds of insects flew around Adam peacefully. No, the mosquito did not bite. The flies did not bother. The spiders did not frighten. Germs did not exist, much less spread. Obviously, COVID-19 or any other bad virus or sicknesses simply didn't exist. Yes, in all of their pre-stage sin, all germs, all viruses actually helped creation to live better. Sin has changed that. Science even tells us now that we have over 1 billion invisible but daily germs and viruses living on our skin that can and could kill us at any moment if God activates or arms that germ. All the millions of forms of life and even the underground life strove to help Adam till the garden. the over 1,100 different kinds of earthworms joyfully fulfilled their purpose. For example, the 12,000 different kinds of trees and the thousands of different kinds of plants. They felt the effect of original sin also as they decayed and died and were horribly twisted by sin, horribly disfigured by disease, infirmities, abnormalities. Look around, was not so in paradise. Now God had promised that because of sin, Adam would farm some plants that he could eat the fruit thereof. But it was so often the thorns and the thistles which grew best and crowded out and the crop that he could eat. Oh, how this radically changed everything with the coming of original sin. Creation's tranquility was shattered in every being, in every sphere, every dimension, every concept, every value was affected. As we said, the animal nature and all the other natures immediately became fearful of Adam and fled from them, fearful of the nature that sinned. No, as we said, the other natures did not sin against God, but they and every other nature in creation started suffering greatly from the consequences of the original sin of man. Just look what happened to the animals. Now, after original sin, they began killing and eating each other, and a giant food chain began to devour each other. Yes, we may believe that the animals became fierce. Yes, Adam and Eve had to quickly hide from the animals for fear of them being killed and eaten. From that beautiful, peaceful garden of bliss, Adam was expelled by God's angry arm. And an angel with a flaming sword guarded against him ever coming back to the covenant of works that was shattered forever. But now, everything had changed. The animals were vicious. Now Adam had to quickly find a safe home, because everywhere the animals became his enemies. And yes, they were ready to kill and to eat him. We can easily imagine Adam and Eve had to quickly find refuge in a cave and had to build a heavy door to protect themselves from the animals who had once loved and adored them and gathered around him. The fields he tilled grew many thorns and thistles, but he had to be careful not to venture too far from his home cave, because the dinosaurs, the T-Rexes, the tigers, the alligators lurked nearby. No, not to love him, but they were ready to make him their next meal. All the animals became carnivorous. How often Adam and Eve must have cowered in their cave as the wild animals threw themselves violently at the cave's heavy door, trying to break it down to kill and to eat Adam and Eve. How terrifying the animals had become. How sad and full of distress their life had become. How radically life had changed at every level. Death was now everywhere. Yes, Adam and Eve had to be the saddest humans on earth as they watched the results of their original sin, mushroom destruction all around them. What sorrow had to daily assault them for their foolishness, their original sin, that had so radically changed everything and brought such darkness upon the universe. Oh, they had to daily weep and lament for the treason they had done against God. But we have only begun to scratch the surface of how original sin changed everything. What horrors this sin has brought upon ourselves, humans. For we know that 1/3 of the world has violently perished because of wars. Oh, has it ever become year in my guilt? Look around today, 6,000 years later, and we see the constant continuance of the consequences of the plagues God has sent against original sin. Today we have the most blatant, the most obvious, the most real in the COVID-19 pandemic of today. God sent this. God sent this because of our original and actual sins. Do not let anyone tell you any differently. The Lord is hyper exceedingly angry at the human race for all of our sins, original and actual. Yes, are there guilty ones here who know why God is so exceedingly angry today? Oh, I beg you with tears, with all the affection of my heart, to fall before the Lord's beautiful feet and the throne of grace, and repent as Nineveh did long ago, immediately upon hearing Jonah's call to repentance. Let us fall before the throne of grace, pleading not our righteousness. No, there is none there. We are dead in sins and in trespasses. But pleading that finished work of Jesus Christ, and pleading that blood of righteousness, for the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, for poor and needy and missing sinners upon earth who are grieving for their original sin, for their actual sin, for their sins which the Holy Spirit is uncovering in its cleansing work of sanctification daily. Oh, there is a message for those missing ones. The Lord says, to such a man I will look, who trembles at my word as a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Such a one God will look to. Oh, may we become by grace such seekers, such earnest, vexed lots who know their original sin, know their actual sin, and also may know from Scripture, from His Word, that there is a way of escape. Oh, repent today from the intended destruction of our land. We have seen already where COVID-19 is the latest plague. We've seen the riots and the burning of our cities. Now we see another judgment of where the hurricane is to strike parts of America. We can well be seven more plagues, as the Egyptians have suffered from 10 plagues. God is angry at your and my original sin. Let us repent today. Amen.